everybody, grab the popcorn, take a deep breath, and get ready to grumble. This is Behind the Media. I'm Dan Lothian.
And I'm Jimmy Young.
We find the interesting in media so you don't have to go searching for it. Like us on Facebook, use the hashtag Behind the Media to engage with us on Twitter, and listen on iTunes on the CMS and the CLNS Media Network. Today's episode is powered by RX Bar, the Whole Foods Protein Bar. Go to rxbar.com/CLNS and use promo code CLNS for 25% off your first purchase. We're coming to you from the Little Park Media Studios, where ideas come to life by producing corporate videos and podcasts to tell your story. Find out more at littleparkmedia.com or contact info@littleparkmedia.com. So is the media guilty of taking advantage of a fragile man? The dramatic meltdown, Jimmy, we all saw it, of the former Trump aide.
Which one? Wait, what day is it?
Yeah, exactly. Sam Nunberg.
Oh, sorry. Yes.
Yeah,
okay,
it played out on national television. It wasn't pretty at first. So, you know, I don't watch a lot of television, as you know, which is kind of ironic in that I spent my entire life watching television and being on television. But I did tune in to the Aaron Burnett show on CNN, and my jaw was just, you know how you see something, you hear something, and it's just hanging open, and at some point you realize you have to start breathing again to get oxygen in your system.
It took the breath away.
It did. It hit me over there. I couldn't believe it. I mean, here was someone who, as I'm watching it, I'm thinking, okay, this is kind of interesting. Oh, no, did he really say that? Oh, wait, what? And then it got to the point where it was just so outrageous that I started thinking, should this person have been on television? And what he essentially was doing, and I don't know if you saw the entire thing play out. I mean, again, he was on CNN. He was on all the national, you know, NBC, CBS, and so forth. But CNN was a live show.
Was he on Fox News?
I don't know. I don't know if he was on Fox, but he was on, probably, he may have been on Fox as well. But he was out there, and he was essentially taking credit for all of President Trump's accomplishments. Now, I know.
It wasn't a very long list, I guess, unless you are, of course. That's not fair, because he is getting something accomplished.
Yeah, apparently there is some conversation that more mays here, because there are indications that there's some sort of agreement that wasn't announced by the U.S., but it was announced by the South Koreans, that President Trump would be invited and would be going, or could entertain, conversations with North Korea. But we digress. Nonetheless, he takes response.
It's a pretty big digression important story, too. And I will just say real quick on this, because you know I do lean on the sports side of things.
Yes.
Isn't it amazing, however,
that
it all began with a sporting event on the peninsula, or in South Korea, and that North, and give South Korea credit, because these are their vicious neighbors to the north, and they allowed them to march together into the Olympic arena.
Exactly.
And now conversation continues, and now he's reached out to another leader of the free world. You notice I did not slant that left at all.
Let's not make this more than it is, because at this point,
nothing's
happened, and there are a lot of things that are a lot of conversations around this. But anyway, he takes Nunberg takes credit for actually Trump winning
everything.
First of all,
in
an interview, he also said that he came up with the idea of the wall. He came up with the Muslim ban. I'm not so sure those are actually popular with at least half the country, and he also came up with basically everything, he says, that the president has done, that any major initiative out there, he says that he has come up with it. But the thing is that he just keeps rambling on, and this was an interesting piece.
Which, by the way, is a prerequisite for anybody who works for the POTUS.
What, to ramble on and on?
Rambling on and on is a prerequisite. You got to have that up in the top of your value proposition on your resume, that you are a rambling man. Or a man or a woman.
Right, but I take my glasses off here for those of you who are not watching it on the live stream but are listening to it on our podcast. Because I want to read exactly what played out on the CNN
the back
program.
And forth.
The back and forth.
Gee,
right.
If I had a copy, I could have played the role of Sam.
Oh,
and you
that's right.
Played,
we could have. Why didn't we plan like that, Jimmy?
Because we didn't talk to each other that much this week, Dan. We just didn't see each other.
We've been just too busy.
I was out shoveling and snowballing and all
exactly,
that stuff.
And got hit in the head by a snowball.
Yes.
But anyway, so she's. This is Erin Burdett. She's talking to him. She said, "You've done 6 interviews in the past few hours." Bizarre was a word that some White House officials were using to describe some of your interviews. Nuts is another one. So she's kind of ticking through some of these things. She said she reached out to a Trump ally, and this person told her that, quote, "You're drunk or you're off your meds." I mean, this is the stuff that's playing out on the air. So later on, you know, he's saying more and more bizarre things. And she says, quote, you're sitting here very close to me. We talked earlier about what people in the White House were saying about you, talking to you. I have smelled alcohol on your breath, she said to him. And then he said, well, I have not had a drink at all. And then here's my final quote. She said, anything else? And he goes, oh, no. Besides my meds, he added, smiling, antidepressants. Is that okay? I mean, this is a former Trump aide having a train wreck on national television. Now, anybody who saw it, probably if you are anti-Trump, you probably were laughing at this. If you are pro-administration, you're probably looking at it and saying, get this person off television, because he, in fact, had been fired a couple of times from the Trump campaign in the past. But my issue is this, and the reason we're talking about this, Jimmy, is should he even have been put on television? Should the news, should CNN have had him on talking, realizing that he was a train wreck?
The answer to that is yes, just because it makes news, and news drives eyeballs and audience and attention and all that stuff. What I'm questioning and does based on, and again, I don't know this guy.
Well, neither do I don't think okay. anybody does.
And if he's claiming already that he is on medication, you know, maybe there's a bigger story here.
Right.
And there's a lot of this in the news these days, and it's about the mental health.
Right.
And who's in charge of actually identifying, treating, and caring for those who are stricken with such a thing? And by the way, it strikes more people than you would think.
So, look, I'm going to push back on what you just said about it is a news story, it's news, it gets ratings, and so
Correct.
Forth. At some point, you know, the media has a responsibility to not put anybody on the air just because it gets ratings, or put them out there online just because you get clicks.
Okay, but if you that
you have
in
to be
theory
responsible.
that sounds great, but
yeah.
You can't tell me that if you see that person on one station that the other station monitors that station
right.
and says, "Hey, if he's on their air, we got to get him too." This is great stuff.
Yeah,
you know that happens.
But,
and it's the sensational. We're actually going to be talking a little bit about the sensationalism in social media.
Yeah.
And this is what feeds the news cycle now, Dan. Anything that's shocking and stands out. And the guy that is perhaps has some challenges mentally, by the way, okay, and has a former background of being close to the POTUS man himself.
Right.
Okay. It's good copy, as they say in the old bit. And
yeah,
the old, but well, we used to have copy.
Yeah, but Jimmy, would you put somebody on the air that you knowingly can admit that they probably were drinking or they had drugs in their system? Because at that point, it takes away the credibility of what they're saying. If you have this person on your show to be talking about the administration and things that happened in the administration and to be leveling criticism of the administration, you better make sure that that person is sane when they're sitting there on your TV set.
Sane,
you know,
or sober?
Both. They need to be sane and sober, you
okay.
know, and does it get to the point? And this is what happened here. And this was interesting because the folks at Axios, Mike Allen, I used to, you know, he was a colleague working at a different publication at Politico at the time when I was at the White House. And along with Jim Vanderhei, they started Politico, and now they've started this new company called Axios. And so they were analyzing how this whole thing has played out. And they basically said, here's what it was. A sad, epic meltdown. A troubled Trump flunky pecked and picked apart like roadkill on the Russian interstate in his last gasp of public fame and shame. And they went on to write that some friends of his were very furious, and they thought that the anchors and all the hosts out
were
there
abusive.
They were knowingly taking advantage of an obviously, quote, fragile man. I mean, I think, look, I want ratings as much as, not that we don't get ratings on online and on a podcast. Well, we do. Ratings
viewers
are when we get
shares,
down. Exactly.
Right, exactly.
We want more downloads. We want you to reach out to your friends and tell
share
them about
it.
Our
That's
podcast.
Right.
And share it. And we want to get millions of
Show
people listening
love.
To this podcast. Show us some love.
Show
That's
us
right.
some love.
We want that as well. But at the same time, on this podcast, Jimmy, if someone came in here and was saying things that, you know, we thought we're a little out there, and that's entertaining, and okay, this is great,
but
we're playing along with it.
As a journalist, do you call them on that? Do you say, are you sure you want to say that? Do you want to mulligan on that statement? That's what a responsible journalist would do.
You're right, Jimmy, but that's if they know what they're saying. That is, if they're saying, it would be like bringing on a kid, a five-year-old kid, who just starts saying a lot of different things, and you say, well, do you know what you're doing? And the kid said, yeah, I know what I'm doing. It's a kid. They can't tell whether they know what they're doing, if it's correct or not. And if someone has some serious issues and can't really know what they're doing and what they're saying, then do we need to be more cautious, more careful in keeping them out of the spotlight? Because, again, it negates whatever they're saying. If someone's under the influence or someone has issues,
right,
some other medical issues, then you can't believe anything they're saying.
We don't, as journalists and as media, we don't parade people that have mental challenges onto the airwaves.
Right.
We
or
don't
should
parade.
We? Or even if they're drunk,
and
they shouldn't be on the air.
We certainly shouldn't be taking advantage of their challenges on the air.
No, we shouldn't.
Okay? That's a humanity thing, right?
Right.
But
you would still go for it. You would just put him on because you know everyone's going to be talking about it.
I think because I've seen him on other channels
that
I'd want him on my – I would not want us to miss out an opportunity to have him on our channel too, even though it's a complete train wreck.
Well, look, again –
I'll tell you, you know who is like this?
Who's like that?
Al Sharpton. He is a provocative – people either like him or hate him.
Right.
They're not sure they want to put him out there because he's a loose cannon.
Yeah, but he knows exactly what he's doing. He has been. He's known.
So
he's known
so,
since day one
so
exactly
you
what he's
claim,
been doing.
So what you're saying is you're saying that Sam had no idea what he was doing.
Well, I don't think in a deeper psychological, whatever bigger medical way. No, he didn't know what he was doing.
Right.
I think he's out there. When I was watching, you know, you can tell when people are doing things because they're trying to get a rise, they're trying to get attention, and then you can look at times when people are talking on television and say, you know what. That hurts a little bit. I'm a little uncomfortable with that. That's how I felt with this one. I felt that this was the case
over the line.
I think at some point, look, you bring him on the show, you have a conversation with him, and then at some point you say, okay, this isn't making sense. I think, you know what, you need to either go see someone or sober up, whatever it may be. But I was troubled by it, and I don't know. I mean, I feel as if more and more these are the kinds of characters who are ended up getting a whole lot of attention for the sake of ratings and for the sake of clicks or downloads or whatever it may be.
It's traditional media playing the role of social media. It's traditional media, again, commercial media, the people that, you know, make their livings on making sure they have big audiences
right.
so they can monetize them in commercial media, really acting like social media.
Yeah. You just put stuff out there. You hope that a lot of people will see it and it goes viral. It's the on-TV version of viral videos is what it was.
And
it was a classic case.
Are we going to see more of this now, Dan, than ever before because of the rampant nature of how people are getting their news and getting their misinformation and sharing it with others? And it's really become irresponsible.
No, and it's a good point when you say, when you ask the question, are we going to be seeing more of this? I think given the current climate where we get shocked every single day, it's almost as if, you know, people who need to have a higher level of shock, or in the case of drugs, they need more in order to get the high. And so I think that's what we're seeing now. We're being desensitized to all of the crazy stuff that's happening out there. There's a lot of stuff that comes we're hit with every single day, whether it's online or on television. And so, okay, let's take it up a notch. Let's have somebody on. Let's keep them on, even though we see the car swerving all over the highway headed for a wall and hitting the wall.
It's a train wreck.
It is a train wreck.
It's a train wreck.
And
but isn't that media 2018?
It is.
And isn't that what we're – look, everywhere you look, Dan, there's a face in a screen somewhere. Yep. Everybody's walking around with their faces in their phones, or if they put their phone down and they look to the right as they go into a store, and oh, there's another screen in the store.
And lots of content to get their attention.
That's right. I don't want to miss anything. I don't want to miss anything, because when I come back to that water cooler, I want to make sure I saw something that I could talk to about with my peers.
Well, this one was blowing up the water cooler.
All right.
Never a dull moment in Washington. Hey, if you like this episode, let us know. Like us on Facebook. Use the hashtag #BehindTheMedia to engage with us on Twitter. Have any questions or comments? Let us know at info@littleparkmedia.com.